In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're surrounded by angels today. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abram's side. And therefore we sing and pray for ourselves in the hymn. Lord, let at last thine angels come and to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. We're surrounded by angels. This next week marks the beginning of the last section of the Sundays after Pentecost with St. Michael and All Angels Day, that mighty, strong protector and warrior. Today's gospel gives us some amazing and impressive and comforting details about the afterlife, what happens when we die, as with the promise of the ministry of the angels at our death. It also lays out a serious warning. No, the story Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus doesn't mean that all poor people go to heaven and all rich people go to hell. Some preach that. And it doesn't mean either that the way to heaven is the way of caring for the poor and our other good works, except insofar as our love and works or lack of them are indicators of our relationship with God, if it exists at all. What is your relationship with God? A Christian priest I heard got a laugh when he was questioned by a 7-year-old child after watching him serve communion at the altar at Mass, innocently asking him, "Do you know Jesus, or does he just work with you?" Christian faith is never a part-time thing, or it shouldn't be. Now, the Old Testament reading from the prophet Amos describes how the rich man spoken of by Jesus demonstrates the sin of selfishness and false security to the neglect of God's place in our lives and our place in the lives of others. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria. This woe applies to both the southern and the northern kingdoms of Israel, to all of God's people. Those who are at ease identifies us. When we pretend that we're pretty good people who are never going to die. But how does it go? Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. We die. We know death is inevitable, no matter how much we deny it. So the truth is, the poor man died. The rich man also died and was buried. Rich or poor, good or bad, famous, infamous, or unsung, in Adam all die. The soul who sins shall die. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The verdict of death is over all. But wait, death is not the final word, for the Bible says it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. But what will that final word be? Described Jesus, the judgment scene in Matthew 25, beginning with the words, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, they will sit, and then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, everyone who ever lived, as the prophet Daniel said in the Old Testament, those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Judgment Day is not something you can avoid. It is something that you can either deal with now, or it will deal with you at the last day. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches. You've done that. Who eat the rich leg of lamb and the choicest veal tenderloin. Those who sing idle songs, frittering away their days, using God's gift of music for their own mere entertainment or worse. No small glasses of wine here, please. Only bowls will satisfy. And splash on a little Pierre Cardin or the latest Giorgio Armani while you're at it. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. Woe, says the prophet to Israel, to the rich man, to all. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. That is, their own spiritual depravity and the threat of God's law of judgment. God calls sinners, all sinners, to repentance, to salvation. The way to that salvation is by repentance of our sins and faith in God's service to us, Gottesdienst. Repentance means to grieve over your own spiritual depravity, to wake up to the fact that you're actually not pretty good people. When you wake up to the truth about your sin, who you are without God, to repent and to believe is to deal with God's judgment now in a way that will give you acquittal, release, and eternal life. For the promise from Moses and the prophets to the last word of Revelation is, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The Old Testament saints, says St. Paul, were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so today, all believers have been baptized into the death of Christ by the water and the word. Now, Jesus' story here, and notice I haven't called it a parable, doesn't reveal the whole mystery. But the details maintain that to die without faith, to die by rejecting, ignoring Jesus, the torment of Hades, hell, awaits. Then there will be no bargaining for yourself or anyone. Though the rich man ignored poor Lazarus in this life, here he begs Abraham to treat Lazarus as a slave and to come and help relieve him. No. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able and none be cross from there to us. At death, the judgment is already past. Nevertheless, the negotiations continues in Jesus' story, but only to proclaim the most important thing. Send Lazarus to warn my brothers. But of course, they've already been warned by Moses and the prophets. Surely they've read Moses and the prophets. God's word, the Bible, has already laid it all out, law and gospel. Then the shriek of unbelief, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Guess what? Is this why Jesus chose the name of Lazarus for this story? Because he did raise Lazarus from the dead. And more than that, Jesus is risen from the dead. Does everybody believe that? He is the one spoken of by Moses and the prophets. As the risen Jesus said to his disciples, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, including his resurrection from the dead. Job of old knew it. He saw it. To be at ease, says the prophet Amos, is to be unconcerned with or in denial of your innate spiritual depravity apart from God, which dogs us all along the way. To possess the promise of a peaceful death and the gentle ministry of the angels is the sure hope of faith in Christ. Of course, that life of faith continues to be a struggle as Christ transforms all of our burdens and sufferings to be but a blessed sharing in his cross, that symbol of his own suffering, his own sacrifice and death for us and for our salvation, that cross that mysteriously reflects our own hope of faith. For on that day, then will be the feasting and joy of eternal life. When we on that final journey go, that Christ is for us preparing, we'll gather in song, our hearts aglow, all joy of the heavens sharing, and walk in the light of God's own place with angels, his name adoring. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.